Our scripture reading is found in the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verses 1 to 6. The new heaven and the new earth. Revelation 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away." And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true." Then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life." These words are trustworthy and true. Thanks be to God.
Hello. Good morning. Well, thank you, Peter and team, for leading us thus far this morning, and for Kathy for guiding us through the service and for the reading of God's Word, which speaks truth and life and goodness and blessing to us. And I, as we were singing, I do think that Scripture and God, through His grace, wants to share something new with us this morning about His goodness, a new life, and the new city that is to come, but that we can experience now. I am so grateful for each one of you who prays for our work at IGEM. As Laura has said, I'm Phil, if you don't already know. I do have a Scottish accent, and Peter said that he will go through this whole sermon again if you don't understand it. So that was really good of him to do that. But I really am grateful for each one of you who prays and gives so generously to our work. I don't know how long you've been coming to all of it, but all of it began its partnership with us at IGM back in 2010. And since 2010, you, each of you as a community, have given over $110,000 to our work. That's amazing. Now, to put that in a little bit of context in terms of what that does for us at IGM, it roughly costs about $8,000 to rescue and restore an individual. And I'll be sharing some of those stories later on. You have impacted so many lives, not just in your giving financially, but in your prayers. IGM is primarily a community of spiritual formation because we know, we recognize that the work of rescue, the work of bringing God's kingdom, the work of restoration when clients have been exploited, who've been caught up in slavery, we simply cannot do our work without prayer and without God's intervention. The reality is the work of IGM, it's God's work. It's God's weight. And He simply allows us, at His good pleasure, to join with what He is doing in this world. And you, all of it, are participating in that in a really, really meaningful way. So thank you so much. In 2018, IGM and IGM-trained partners supported justice system and officials. So we partner with local law enforcement, we partner with government. And in 2018, we rescued 4,660 victims of violence. We restrained 227 suspected criminals. We arrested 206 suspects. We convicted 195 perpetrators. We restored, so we enabled our survivors to go through counselling and trauma care. We restored 910 children, women and men. We're serving over 2,000 survivors. It's remarkable. We've trained over 29,500 police officials, advocates, judges, 29,500 nationals. We simply cannot do this work without you. Since we began 22 years ago, IJM, through people like yourself, through partnership with local officials around the world, we've rescued over 49,000 children, women and men. We've convicted over 1,600 perpetrators. And we've trained over 188,000 people, including 67 justice officials, 67,000 justice officials. And we have trained 121,000 men and women exactly like you about what it means to engage meaningfully in the call to justice through Scripture. So thank you. Thank you. All of this fundamentally means that you as a community, in a beautifully mysterious way, you are ushering in God's kingdom. We've sung about it this morning. You are ushering God's kingdom right here, right now. I'm going to ask that the words from Revelation go up behind me, that were read to us. The words that were read to us by Kathy, the last time I heard those words read out loud was at my grandfather's funeral. He died in November 2010, just over 8 years ago. I still feel the pain of his loss. You see, I grew up in a broken home, and my grandfather was essentially my dad. He took me to church. He gave me rides to school when it was raining. He would help me out in my paper delivery round as a young teenager. He helped me and taught me how to paint, how to garden, do helpful DIY things around the house, like put up a shelf and it's not squint. He was a good, good man, my grandfather. I wish you could have met him. Above all, he taught me how to see God in the everyday, to experience God. He lived in such a way that exuded God's presence. And his passing was hard. At the time of his death, we lived thousands of miles apart. We were living here in Vancouver, in the Lower Mainland. And that summer of 2010, we went back, my wife and I, Louise, we went back with our kids to Scotland. Whilst we were home, Louise encouraged me to spend time alone with my grandfather. So I went and visited at the home where he was struggling with dementia. We chatted for a bit, but mostly, to be honest, we just sat with one another. I held his hand for what seemed like the whole time I was there. For hours, I just sat and held his hand and we just sat together. Those big, burly hands that taught me so much. A gift from farming stock. He was a farmer. Seemed small. They were frail. The skin was getting really paper thin. His hands had told a story of a life well lived and fully lived. The pain of leaving that home that day and saying goodbye to my grandfather is still, it feels like yesterday, to be honest. That's why even just now I just find myself emotionally being caught up in the moment. It felt so real. And the pain of that moment only struck me when I went into the car and I couldn't start the engine. It is said that the death of a loved one, you never truly adjust. Somehow, the weight, the thickness, and the heaviness of grief will always somehow be there. It will. But through the grace of community, through birth, through new life, through the peace of God, you learn to cope, but in a new way, because you're never the same. It's just a new way of being, right? It's true. You do. You learn to cope. But grief remains, right? Sneaking up when you least expect it. For me, the smell of the first cut grass of spring. A border collie on a stranger's leash that wants to come and say hello to me. Suddenly, a memory pops up, and you could swear you're right there back again at that moment when your loved one left this place. I want to tell you, friends, that what we have read in Revelation 21 is a certainty. That in fact, when the tears are wiped away by Jesus, the tears are wiped away and will cease. That the wonder of the new heaven and the new earth coming down, your grief, your pain, your sorrow, the separation that you feel right now from your loved one who may be passed years and years ago, it will be gone. It will be no more. Slavery, exploitation, and the grief that you feel will cease. The tears of those who have been hurt by this, it will stop, and your tears will be wiped away by the Savior of this world. Is it possible to experience, though, renewal and restoration now? Is it possible for those of us all who suffer grief and pain and sorrow, for those that we will hear about soon who suffer the pain of slavery and exploitation, is it possible to experience now the wonder of new creation and the goodness of new creation? Is it possible? What I would like to do now, we're going to watch a video and keep that question in your mind as you watch this video. Here is gooder than the lake. Kofi was intimate with brokenness, intimate with slavery. Is it possible that the new heaven and new earth can be experienced now? There are currently 40 million men, women, and children enslaved in our world. That's more than at any point in history. That's more than the population of Canada. It's more than during the Atlantic slave trade, time of William Wilberforce. Globally, there are 4 billion people living outside of the protection of the law. That is, they aren't protected by the law. So they can be exploited. They can be caught in slavery. Human trafficking generates at least $150 billion per year. 2/3 of that from the commercial sexual exploitation. A child goes missing in India every 8 minutes. What does it all mean? What does this mean? In light of what we watched in the video, where we see lives being changed like Kofi, what does Revelation 21 say to you and I in this place in New Westminster? Does it make a difference? Revelation speaks of the restoration of all things. That somehow, mysteriously, wonderfully, God in His goodness will make all things new. Injustice, it would seem, isn't going to have the last word. There's a great theme throughout Scripture which gives meaning and purpose to all of our life and sets the framework of what we're doing here this morning. It's present in 1,000 passages. It's present in poetry and song, articulated in rich and dense theology, lived out by the Lord Jesus Himself. And yet this theme has routinely been ignored or at best been marginalized. And sometimes it's even thrown into the ditch and left to die as the religious and secular worlds pass by on the other side. The theme of which I speak is new creation. The God in whom we believe is the creator of the world, and He will one day put this world to rights. That solid belief that He is going to do something new is the bedrock of our faith. God is not going to abolish the universe of space, time, and matter. He is going to renew it. He's going to restore it. He's going to fill it with new joy and new purpose and new delight. And He's going to take from it all that is corrupted, all that is wrong. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad, the psalmist says. The desert is going to rejoice. The desert is going to rejoice and is going to blossom. In fact, this creation that you and I experience, this creation, as beautiful as BC is, it's not everlasting. This first creation is not immortal. It solely exists at the good pleasure of our God. But a new city, a new heaven, a new earth is going to come from God to us. It will be created new for you and I. That is the key. God is going to bring it to us. That means this new creation is something brand new. It's not like a lick of new paint in your vestibule or in your living room. It's going to be totally new. The last book of the Bible ends not with the company of the saved being taken up into heaven, but with the New Jerusalem coming down to earth from heaven, resulting in God's new creation, new heavens and new earth, in which everything that has been true, lovely, and of good report will be vindicated, enhanced, set free from all pain and sorrow. God Himself, it says, God Himself will wipe your tears away in this new heaven and new earth. That's a physical act. He will wipe your tears away. I mean, one of the great difficulties in preaching this gospel truth in our days is that everyone assumes that the name of the game is ultimately to go to heaven when you die, as though that is the last act in the drama. Heaven's important, for sure, but it's not the end of the world. God will make new heavens and new earth, and give us new bodies to live and work and take delight in his new creation. And the good news of the Christian gospel is that this new world, this new creation, it's already begun. It began when Jesus of Nazareth rose from the dead on Easter morning, having faced and beaten the double enemy, sin and death, that has corrupted and defaced this good world. Put it like this. The world and we humans within it were in a mess, left for dead in the ditch. The secular world will pass on one side. It hasn't got time to worry about other people's problems or brokenness, because there's a profit to be made and power to be grabbed. The modern religious world often walks on the other side, believing that this world doesn't matter because we're going to leave it fairly soon anyway, because we're going somewhere else. You see, the living God has come with healing and hope and freedom in Jesus. Jesus has picked up the battered and dying world, has bound it up in his wounds on the cross, and has set it on the road to full health. This biblical theme, so well known in other traditions like the Eastern Orthodox, and so completely forgotten in our Western modern world, makes glorious sense not only of the whole sweep of biblical thought, but of the very specific and practical work on which we rightly focus on this morning. All of it, we are here because, whether we've thought of it like this or not, we know in our bones that looking after number one isn't where it's at. That in Jesus Christ, we are called not to save ourselves from the world, but to bring salvation to the world. We are here because we are committed to the pilgrim way, the way that leads to God's new Jerusalem, this new heaven and new earth. And because we know that on the road, there is healing to be experienced then, right now. Then shall the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. New creation has begun in Jesus, and that's why Kofi can experience the healing through aftercare right now. Because it started at the cross. It started with Jesus, and Jesus is setting us on this pilgrim way. So what do we do? If this creation is going to pass away, why bother trying to make things new? Should we bother about caring for creation? Should we bother at all? Well, yes, we should bother. This creation is a gift from God. And what do we do with gifts? What do we do with a gift? We look after it. We care for it. We love it. We tend it. The life we have in this world is a gift. And even though my body is passing away like yours, should you not care for your body? Of course you do. You should care for creation in the same way, because we are commanded to do so in Scripture from the beginning. The new creation, this heaven, this new heaven and new earth, set from Jesus at the cross, can be experienced now. It's accessible to us now, and us to it. That's why the writer of the Hebrews in the New Testament says, "We have already tasted of the power of the age to come." Already the power of the age to come that we have read about in Revelation 21 of renewal and restoration, it's spilling over. You ever filled your coffee cup too much? Or a cup of tea? Am I the only one that does that? And it spills over? Think of God's goodness in the same way. The tap doesn't stop, though. It's still being poured over. And so we can experience joy, we can experience freedom, we can experience healing now. It's spilling over into this world, this new creation. So what does it look like? What are the fruits of the new creation that we see at IGM when we're encountering slavery and exploitation? Well, we encounter children like Kofi, and we encounter others. We encounter Chanchala at the top there. Chanchala was rescued in March 2016 at a brick kiln factory in our largest ever operation in southern India. She was rescued alongside 564 children, women and men. Or we encounter women like Punai and her daughter Dipali there. Punai was rescued at a rose farm along with 328 other children, women and men. Her daughter was born in slavery. Now free. Experience freedom. Experiencing freedom and joy. Or in the next slide, Gosamani. Gosamani and her daughter, Sadni, rescued as part of an operation of over 200 individuals in Chennai. Or Jagat and his family, part of the rescue of the 564 people who were rescued as part of the largest brick kiln operation that we've ever had. These lives, like Kofi, is proof that the new creation of freedom, of justice, of hope, is spilling over into this world. All of it, you've been part of these stories. You've been praying for people exactly like this. In your bulletin, there are stories of recent rescue operations. Continue to pray for the healing of those who have been rescued, because they are on a long journey. Many of them have experienced slavery, not just for months, but for years. Some of them, like the children, have been born into slavery. That has been what they've known. That's the only thing they've known. We cannot do this work without you. We cannot do this work without your prayers. So thank you. Recognize that you, in your partnership with us, is bringing the new creation to this world. Let us pray together. Lord God, we thank you for your scripture from Revelation. Lord, many of us have walked the road of sorrow and pain, the loss of family members and friends who have been dear to us. Some of us, even this day, are struggling with news that is hard to hear. You know our stories, and I thank you that you know us so intimately. Lord, in some beautiful way, will you begin to write a new story in each of our lives that brings freedom and peace and hope? Allow us to experience this week the new heaven and new earth spilling over into our lives. May we see you in the everyday, Lord Jesus. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear of your goodness. And go with us from this place. In Christ's name, amen.
The last Sunday of the month, what we've been trying to do is having a time where you can come forward for prayer. I think there's, as Phil was saying, there's such value in praying and praying for one another. So I'd like to invite the Stephen ministers to come forward and anybody from council that would like to come and pray as well. And part of what I'd like to do this morning is to invite Phil to be one that would be prayed for. So a few of us that would lay hands on him, pray for him as he ministers and for the work of IJM. And is Daniela and Evan here? No, they're not. They're going to be leaving, and I was hoping they would be here this morning. They're moving back to Bulgaria. I was hoping to pray for them, but anyway, so Peter and the team will play. I invite you to come forward. This is a wonderful opportunity just to receive prayer.